Good morning, this is Carol Ventura, Executive Director of Rhode Island Housing. This is the February 15th, 2024 meeting of the Rhode Island Housing Board of Commissioners. This meeting is being made available telephonically for access by the public. C.J. Rotella, the Director of Information Technology for Rhode Island Housing, will provide information on this meeting.
Good morning, this is C.J. Rotella. This meeting will be recorded and available for your review on Rhode Island Housing's website within 3 to 5 business days after this meeting. Except for specific Rhode Island Housing staff, participants during the call should mute their telephones during the meeting. To prevent any feedback or background noise, we ask all participants to mute your telephones if you are not speaking. If during the meeting anyone is having technical difficulties with the audio or accessing the call, they should call 401-457-1240. Thank you.
Good morning. This is Corinne Myers, General Counsel of RA Housing, speaking. Members of the public can visit the RA Housing website for information and documents on each of today's actions. If the teleconference portion is interrupted for any reason, we will stop the meeting until audio can be restored. Chair of the Board, Stephen Pryor, will preside at today's meeting. Commissioners and staff, state your name prior to speaking each and every time for the benefit of those listening in via teleconference. With that, I'll turn it over to the Chair to call the meeting to order. Thank you.
Stephen Pryor, I'm calling the meeting to order at 9:35 a.m. And I'm going to go ahead and ask Carol to conduct a roll call.
Commissioner McAllister.
Present.
Commissioner Barrett.
Here.
Commissioner Orr.
Here.
Commissioner Pryor.
Here.
Commissioner Diosa.
Here.
Commissioner Dwyer.
Here.
Thank you. I'm going to introduce Board Action 1, approval of the minutes. That's for the meeting held on January 11th. Please feel free to refresh your recollection by looking at them. And when you're ready, I'll entertain a motion. Is there a motion? Perfect. Is there a second?
Second
is James Dio. Second is discussion or questions? None. Please conduct the voice vote.
Certainly. All those in favor of approving the minutes of the board meeting held on January 11th, 2024, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. The motion is approved. Thank you.
I'm going to forego chairman's remarks this morning. We have plenty of business. Good to see everyone, and I'm going to go ahead and ask Carol Ventura to present a review of recent activities and trends. I will note in advance of this item that this item does not include for today's purposes, Carol, the executive director's goals, which we've discussed at previous meetings. Those are forthcoming. I will say that Carol and I are already in good dialogue about them. They will come to Management Committee first for discussion of Management Committee. That is the Executive Director's goals, and they will come before this board for review. We anticipate next month. We'll keep you up to date if that changes for any reason, but all good dialogue. Not that particular point for today, but we did want to head with recent activities and trends. So with our thanks, Carol.
Yes. I just want to draw your attention to the one pager that Marilena put at your seat. Legislators, State House, and it just summarizes our activity from 2023, and on the back our legislative priorities. On to the monthly update. Closings in January are up by 21%, so lots of activity happening in our homeownership group. We have suspended the down payment assistance program, the statewide down payment assistance program, because we had a fairly significant amount of reservations in queue. We've worked through those, and we are going to reopen the program. We have around, I believe it's 2.5 million available. We're adding around 740,000 admin funds to the pot. So we'll start that program, I believe, February 20th will reopen. In January, we've received 77 proposals for financing, totaling almost $350 million across a number of programs. And her team are naturally busy as can be trying to go through them. We also had a number of projects come back that have construction gaps, with increasing costs and lower credit pricing, interest rates increasing. So staff is going to begin that evaluation process and bring projects to the board as needed for these to fill these gaps. We did have a few events in January, a HUD press event on our receipt of family unification vouchers, 25 vouchers working in partnership with Family Service and Foster Forward. And we attended a groundbreaking down to Jamestown for the renovation of a blighted property, Swap and Looking Upwards. We're partnering on that. There will be 12 affordable apartments, 8 set aside for individuals with intellectual or developmental disabilities. And I had the honor to testify before the Senate Budget Committee in Washington on housing affordability challenges in the country. So it was a great opportunity to talk about the challenges we're facing in Rhode Island. That's it, Jim.
Thank you for that good report, Carol. Any questions for Carol?
Carol. Maybe more for Ann. Thank you for taking on this Herculean task, you and your staff, with this volume of applications we've received. Just wanted to check in, see how that processing is going along. It's a big lift.
This is Ann Berman. Yes, it's a big lift. But I think staff is doing a great job. We're still in the kind of process where we're going through applications and identifying areas where we need a little bit more clarification. Historically, when we've had 10 or 15 applications, all of those communications go out at the same time. Obviously, we can't do that now. So they've kind of been going out on a rolling basis. Everybody has a week to respond. That process will be should be completed by the end of February. As Carol mentioned, we did get, 11 applications for projects that had previously been awarded, so we're trying to expedite those. In fact, we have a meeting, I believe, tomorrow to sort of talk about where those are with the hope of, if we can, bringing them to the board in the next month or so to kind of get those moving. I think overall it's an interesting mix of projects, and typically you have some that always, are a little bit better, some where I need a little bit more work, and then a lot in the middle. So we're going through that review, and we hope to get all of this wrapped up by May.
Great. Thank you.
Certainly our goal is to get the fiscal better. $65 million remaining is?
Yes.
Any other questions? Very good. All right, on to Board Action 4, firm approval of financing for Potter's High Gray Apartments of Providence, and we're going to turn it back over to Ann for that very purpose.
Thank you, Chairman, and I want to acknowledge Carla DeStefano is here, the Executive Director of SWAP. Her team has really done a great job of bringing this project to firm approval, so we're excited to be here. This is for firm approval of $8.7 million of tax-exempt construction financing, a taxable first mortgage of $475,000, as well as firm approval of capital magnet funds, DAH funds, and CRP funds, community revitalization funds. The project is known as Potter's Tigre. SWAP is the developer. Potter's Tigre is a scattered site, 57-unit development in South Providence. It includes two components, a rehab component and a new construction component. Potter's Avenue is an existing 15-year LIHTC project that's passed its initial 15-year compliance period. There's 37 units and 16 buildings, and those units will undergo a moderate rehabilitation, which should stabilize them, we hope, for the next 20 years or so. The new construction component consists of 20 units on vacant lots that are owned by SWAP, and both components will be combined into one single asset entity. All 57 units are affordable with incomes ranging from 50% and the 30% units subsidized through an existing project-based voucher contract on some of the older units, as well as HPS ELI funds for the remaining. And there's a mix of bedroom sizes here from 1 to 4, so serving all populations. Since preliminary, the developer did substitute several lots, but I think they were very strategic and a stronger proposal. The TDC has actually been reduced, but a lot of that is related to a reduction in acquisition cost based on the appraised value. And SWAP was also awarded an additional $700,000 for the City of Providence, which completes capital stack. The syndicator is NEF. They are paying 92 cents. Webster Bank is the investor, and Webster Bank will also be the initial construction lender. So our tax-exempt bonds will come in when the project is about 50% complete. I do understand I was not at credit committee, but there were a couple of questions about rollover debt and the standard language has been added into the RFA, and we're quite comfortable with the way the capital stack is now set up. So in summary, we're seeking firm approval of a tax-exempt loan of $8.7 million that will be fully paid off at construction completion, a permanent taxable loan of $475,000, a capital magnet fund loan of $250,000, a development of affordable housing loan of $4,550,000, and a CRP grant of $2
million. Questions? If there are none, I will entertain a motion.
Make a motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Have a chance for questions or discussion. Hearing none, Corey, would you conduct the voice vote?
Absolutely. Corey Meyer speaking. All those in favor of firm approval of financing for Potter's T. Gray Apartments in Providence as presented at this meeting, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. All six commissioners present have voted in the affirmative. The motion is approved.
Great. And congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Board Action 5, firm approval of acquisition financing from Marathon Development, LLC, Copley Center, Providence. And back to Ann.
Thank you, Chairman. This is Ann. So this request for action is for approval of a taxable loan of $2,720,000 for the acquisition of land in Providence that will facilitate the development of 178. Marathon Development is the developer. Marathon has an option agreement to purchase a little bit more than 4 acres of land at the corner of Blackstone Street and Staniford Street, which is at the southern edge of the Rhode Island Hospital complex in Providence. The site is well situated between the Liston campus of CCRI, as well as Rhode Island Hospital, Women and Infants, Hasbro, and a number of other medical office buildings, making it a really strategic location that's well suited for residential development. The purchase price is $3.4 million. The appraised value is $3.6 million. And our loan is in conformance with the term sheet that was created for this program. The proposed acquisition financing is about 75% of the appraised value. The loan term is 12 months, and the borrower will pay interest monthly on the outstanding loan. The developer did submit a funding application under the consolidated funding round, which is under review, and as are currently projected, all 178 units that they do propose to build would be affordable. So we're asking approval of a taxable acquisition loan in an amount not to exceed $2,720,000.
Thank you, Ann. Questions? Very good. I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve. This is Steve.
Is there a second?
Second by James Diosa.
One more shot at any questions, discussion, et cetera. Hearing none, calling to you.
Yes. All those in favor of firm approval of acquisition financing for Marathon Development, LLC, for the development known as Copley Center in Providence, as presented at this meeting, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. With six affirmative votes, the motion is approved.
All right. So item six, authorization of naturally occurring affordable housing or NOAA loan demonstration program. Once again, Ms. Berman, thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. So this RFA is for authorization to administer the NOAA loan demonstration program. As you said, hard to say three times fast, NOAA stands for naturally occurring affordable housing. The intention of the NOAA program is to provide housing, provide financing to housing developers pursuing the acquisition and preservation of existing non-restricted housing with rents that are below 80% of AMI. And in exchange for lending requirements that are a little less restrictive than the conventional capital markets can provide, the loan program will require that at least 40% of the units in the development are deed restricted for 20 years to households with incomes below 80% of AMI. And that's the minimum amount. Obviously, they can deed restrict more units should they choose to. This is a program that we've been discussing for several years, and in conjunction with our finance team, we developed a term sheet which outlines the lending parameters for the program, including but not limited to the interest rate stack, loan limitations, vacancy rates, and due diligence. And from our perspective, the key underwriting provisions include that the loan amount will be limited to the lower of 85% of the as-is value based on an appraisal that's commissioned by us or a debt service coverage of 1.2. At least 40% of the units must be restricted to households earning no more than 80% of AMI for 20 years. We do have a maximum loan amount of $3 million, and we're, at this point, only prepared to entertain single-site acquisitions as opposed to scattered sites. The program is available to both for-profit and nonprofit developers, and we have built in some liquidity requirements to the term sheet. In addition, the program aims to minimize any potential rent increases on existing tenants while still balancing the needs of the developer to ensure adequate operating income to make sure that we have a well underwritten transaction. So we're seeking authorization to create our NOAA loan demonstration program and make taxable loans under the program.
Great. Kick it off with two questions, if I may. First of all, this sounds like a solidly conceived and important program. Question one, what's the source of financing for this?
Carol can answer that, but essentially I think
our line
can answer the question.
This is Kara. It would be our lines of credit or potentially working with the Federal Home Loan Bank of Boston.
What would the Federal Home Loan Bank component involve?
So they lend to us, but we have to provide collateral. Depending on the type of property, they won't give us 100% value. So something like this, they may give us a 70% value, which is not the most efficient. So depending on the rates, we will go with either our line of credit or FHLB.
Compare the two.
That's right.
Very helpful. I'd just be curious as that evolves.
Sure.
We have an update on that point, just so we see how that part works.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Second question, just out of curiosity, sometimes ideas are homegrown entirely, but did you aim to emulate any pre-existing NOAA preservation program or anything else in crafting this?
I would say yes and no. This has been a topic of conversation for a lot of NCFHA members for several years. We did have some conversations with the folks at Mass Housing. We've had conversations with the folks at Minnesota Housing Finance Agency. We've probably been talking about this program for 3 years, and then when interest rates went a little crazy, we sort of set it aside. And a lot of it, we've been sort of trying to find the right property or properties to kind of use as a demonstration for the program, and I think we've hit on a couple of them. So I would say we did talk with others. We looked at the Fannie Mae program. I believe probably 2 years ago we had a conversation with the credit committee about it. So it's been an evolving conversation. So we've kind of taken a little bit of information from a lot of different sources to create what we have here.
Helpline. Thanks. Other questions?
And two quick questions. You might have mentioned this. Is there a cap as far as how much you would put into this program?
I'll defer to Kara. I mean, we have a cap of $3 million for any individual loan.
Yep, this is Kara. So that's on a per loan basis. Because it's a demonstration program, we haven't set a cap. We're going to see what we have for applications and obviously what is available on our lines of credit.
And any idea how many units this could help create?
That's a great question. I think because the loan is going to be limited to $3 million, you're probably, you know, on any individual loan, probably somewhere less than 20 units. And I think the goal has always been sort of those smaller, for lack of a better term, sort of mom-and-pop kinds of developments that are out there. And I think it will be based on sort of, you know, opportunities as they come up. Most of these, I think, are going to be arm's-length transactions. I would say overall, any individual transaction is probably going to be somewhere between 10 and 20 units. It's just it's just a guess.
Yeah, that's great, though. Thank you.
Other questions?
Kevin, another question. We've talked a lot about this program over the years. It's good to see it resuscitated here and get a number of transactions done with it. And we did have a number of comments in credit committee recently about it, but just wanted to bring up a few. I know that it's a program that's designed primarily for those transactions that don't quite make it, say, to a 4% or 9% credit. So they're smaller, maybe they need less rehab, and that's why targeted the as-is value and coming up with the loan amount. I would just throw out that to consider post-rehab value as well, that there might be some modest improvements that could be made to the real estate that may boost up the value, and that maybe we could recognize that in the loan amount.
Mm-hmm.
And also, just to clarify, it is income and rent-restricted product?
Yes.
Okay. And then lastly, just this is our lightest touch program, perhaps, so anything we can do to streamline the process and keep it low fixed cost, I think it'll be, you know, that much more attractive. Sorry. Thank you.
I think we need to confirm the rent restriction, whether or not we have a rent restriction on this program.
Following the conversation we had at credit last week, this is James Comer, by the way, we're working with asset management to see a mechanism we could put into this program going forward. We don't have that fully fleshed out yet, and see how it will look like it does, like our other programs do for compliance purposes. So I think we're taking what you said last week to heart and looking to see for the initial approval and for the deal that you're about to consider, it does not have a rent restriction built in, but going forward, as the program evolves, we're looking at how to do that.
And I think that's important. If we want to help and assist people at 80% of AMI, we don't want them paying what someone at 150% of AMI would pay. We don't want to rent burden folks. I think we just need to work through those details.
Okay. And we started those conversations internally already with the asset management folks thinking about how to do it in a way that, like you say, is a light touch but gets us where we want to go.
And I think Michael spoke to that about thoughts about how the compliance piece would work and the timing of that and how to stay on top of it without overly burdened.
Great. Thank you for that dialogue. It evokes this question. How do we determine whether in a given development the NOAA status is at risk? In other words, how do we determine that conditions are changing and there could be a volatility?
Well, I think we would look at the environment. Certainly Central Falls is very vulnerable for increasing
mm-hmm.
rent rates. We've seen that in that community, just given the transit stop now being there and the investment, the investors coming in from Boston. So I think we look at the environment and what's happening within the community.
So context surrounding the development, but nothing pertaining to, this is just inquiring, nothing pertaining to the development itself, the ownership group expressing that the rent levels are at risk, or it's more?
I don't know that we've had that type of engagement with development.
No, I mean, I would say, personally, I think any development that is, you know, currently affordable but not deed restricted is at risk. Mm-hmm. In the market that we're in right now, there's such a lack of supply, very little turnover, that, you know, it's possible at any point that someone could come in and make a reasonable acquisition of a property and then say, well, I'm going to raise this to market rents, and if you can't pay, you got to get out. So I think that's really acknowledging the realities of the market is what spurred us in many ways to think about this as a potential line of business. And that's kind of where we look, that's how we look at this, is that anything without deed restriction is liable to go market.
And of course, we have all of the data that Brenda and her team puts together at HousingWorks that supports the fact that people are vulnerable, renters are vulnerable everywhere in Rhode Island. I think we have one community, Brenda, that's affordable for renters.
Right now, but it's going to slip under our heads.
Yeah. So speaking to James' point, everything is at risk right now.
And that's true. I mean, there is just volatility in the market in general, and rents are rising too fast. Forgive me if you've already expressed this, is there a deed restriction that results following our investment or any other form of commitment? Does that happen? Yeah, okay.
When we make our loan, we put a 20-year deed restriction.
Gotcha.
So sometimes you're buying that affordability for future growth.
Got it. Very helpful.
The restrictions will remain in place for the longer of the mortgage for that 20 years. So it could go beyond the 20 years, in fact.
Got it.
I'm sorry. Also, should that developer sell the property, it will remain deed restricted for the original period.
20 year, right.
Gotcha. Is this by developer application, or is it by invitation from us?
Well, I think once the program is approved, we will post the term sheet, and we'll certainly have some conversations with partners that we have now. We historically, over the last several years, field a couple of calls folks sort of interested. Not our typical customers that we normally do affordable housing business with, who are interested in trying to purchase units like this, in some cases build, which probably is not appropriate for this program. But we get a lot of calls, a surprising number of calls about, I think, projects that would fit within this line of business.
So the term sheet will be posted. We already get a lot of calls. We'd expect more to result from posting the term sheet. Would there be a formal process for application that would result?
Rolling, probably.
Rolling.
Yep, I think we'll need to create a one that's probably on a rolling basis.
Yeah.
And this is a pilot, so I think we want to go slowly,
mm-hmm.
and we want to evaluate this and then consider the financial impact on the agency and how we support this moving forward. So I'd like to see maybe half a dozen proposals come in and then come back to the board and present it to you all, get your feedback as to whether or not this is something we should consider permanently.
Sounds great.
And how we finance it. Right.
Sounds great.
Most important.
All right. Thanks for answering those questions. Colleagues, any additional questions? Hearing none, there is a board action, which is the motion to approve action number 6. So,
I'll make the motion, James Dio.
Moved by the treasurer. Is there a second?
I'll second, Kevin Orr.
Second by Kevin. Any further discussion or questions? Hearing none, Porter, please conduct the voice vote.
Yes. All those in favor of authorizing the Naturally Occurring Affordable Housing, or NOAA, loan demonstration program as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. With 6 affirmative votes, the motion is approved.
Thank you. Item 7, firm approval of financing for 129-137 Garfield Street in Central Falls. And back to you, Ann.
Thank you, Chairman. So this request is for a loan through the NOAA loan demonstration program in an amount not to exceed $1,000,000. The project is located in Central Falls on Garfield Street. The developer is Simco Realty LLC, and they are purchasing this building through an arm's length transaction. The development currently contains 13 two-bedroom units with rents that are well below 80% of AMI, and at closing, the units will all be deed-restricted. This proposed loan does conform with the underwriting standards as laid out in the term sheet, which we just discussed. The not-to-exceed loan amount is based off of the lower of 85% of the as-appraised value as required in the term sheet. Based on current interest rates and current income projections, we actually expect that the loan will be a little bit lower than the amount that we're asking for approval, as it will must conform with the lower of the 85% or the debt service coverage. And the developer has confirmed that any difference in the loan amount will be made up for equity. The underwriting rents are all below the max 80% rents, as well as the current market rents. And so to support the underwriting projections, the developer does intend to increase the rents for existing residents. However, we are working with the developer who acknowledges that we're going to take a phased approach to make sure that we minimize any disruption for existing tenants. All of the proposed rents will be below the maximum 80% AMI rents, as you know, required under the deed restriction. So, in summary, we're seeking a loan amount of an up to amount of $1,232,000.
Questions? None. One more shot. Anybody have questions? And I'll entertain a motion.
Kevin Orr. Make the motion.
And a second?
Seconded.
One shot at questions if you have them. If not, Corey, please, for the voice vote.
Mm-hmm. All those in favor of firm approval of financing for 129 to 137 Garfield Street in Central Falls, as presented at this meeting, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. The motion is approved by a unanimous vote. Thank you.
All right. And you've got a lot today. This is item 8, approval transfer of physical assets for the Tower Apartments right here in Providence. Go ahead, please.
Dan Berman. So this is an administrative action required under our general rules. We're seeking approval to transfer of the limited partnership interest in the Tower Apartments, sometimes referred to as 160 Broad Street, which is owned and operated by Crossroads and consists of 176 units, primarily an SRO unit type. The development's initial compliance period ended in 2019. The regulatory agreement expires in 2033. As you all are aware, Crossroads intends to build a new project or is in the process of building a new project known as Summer Street, which received firm approval in November and is currently under construction. As part of that Summer Street transaction, the current rental subsidy contracts for the tower will be assigned to the new Summer Street owner. During construction, there's going to be a master lease between Summer Street and the limited partnership at the tower to ensure that the existing tower residents remain in place. Upon completion of the new Summer Street property, the existing residents will be relocated to the new building and the master lease will be terminated. The current limited partner in the tower seeks to exit the limited partnership prior to the execution of that master lease. Crossroads will assume all existing obligations encumbering the tower. And their goal is to undertake a renovation of the tower once Summer Street is complete and all the residents are moved. So we're seeking approval of the transfer of the limited partnership interest in Travelers Aid from Santander Bank, who's the existing limited partner, to Crossroads Rhode Island.
Questions? And would you mind distilling what is the problem we're solving?
So I think it kind of goes back to the original design of the tower, which is SRO units, which really serves a purpose at one time. By building the Summer Street apartments, you're creating one bedroom units that are a much better place for folks to live and be supported. There is an existing subsidy contract at the tower. Under the many loan documents that are being signed for Summer Street, the standard practice is to take an assignment of all of the subsidy contracts, and that must be done at the closing for Summer Street. But the units are still occupied at the tower, so it's really just a formality. The master lease is a formality just in terms of the money flow.
Mm-hmm.
Santander Bank, who is the existing limited partner, really doesn't want to have anything to do with Summer Street. They just want to get out of the partnership. It's very standard that limited partners get out of partnerships at year 15 in a day. And, you know, so this TPA is really no different than the many other TPAs that we've done over the last, 10 years.
Very helpful. Any questions?
This one. I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve. This is Keith.
Is there a second?
Second is Beth Dwyer.
And second is one more shot at questions.
I'm going to recuse myself.
Okay. I'm noting recusal for Commissioners Barry and Treasurer Diosa.
Anything else? Way of an action or a question. And Corey, we're all set on the recusals. You just expressed them, so we're good. Now I will ask you to proceed with the voice vote.
All those in favor of approving a transfer of physical assets for the Tower Apartments in Providence, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, say nay. I believe I have 4 affirmative votes and the 2 recusals. The motion's approved.
Thank you all. Item 9. Authority to issue homeownership opportunity bonds. Ask Bernadette MacArthur to go ahead and present this item. Bernadette.
Thank you, Chairman. Good morning. This is Bernadette MacArthur speaking. This request for single family bonding authority is a fairly routine item that comes to the board about once a year to continue our single family bonding program. Our last single family bond issue was executed late last fall, and we expect it will expend the entirety of the proceeds by the end of this month. Based on our current pipeline of registrations and on production estimates, staff anticipates issuing approximately $500 million of single-family bonds to fund the new mortgages or refund existing bonds over the next 12 to 18 months. This resolution would authorize the issuance of bonds up to $500 million, and that bond issuance authority would expire on September 30th, 2024. So we're asking the board to authorize the issuance of up to $500 million in single-family bonds over the next 18 months to fund the homeownership opportunity bond program. Happy to answer any questions.
Very good. Commissioners, any questions?
A quick question, if
please.
I may. Bernadette, how would you describe kind of the tone of the environment of the bond market right now?
So I was thinking about that earlier. So we were in the market in July, and we were in the market in October. We saw probably about a point difference in pricing between those two pricings. Since then, rates have come down. Participants are in the market purchasing bonds. However, over the past couple of weeks, there's been a lack of firmness as we entered the market. So looking at issuances that came this week, we're probably about 50 basis points between the last two issuances. So where we saw a little over a 6% on a taxable issuance long end last time, where right in line, maybe 20 basis points lower than that this time. So there's a little bit of a lack of firmness over the past couple weeks, but we're definitely in a better tone than we were when we went to market in October.
Okay.
How many times a year do you go out or look to go out?
We look at 3 to 4 issuances on the single family side a year. We've been doing about 3 a year lately.
Any more questions on the authority to issue? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion.
Motion to approve. This is Steve.
A second.
Second. And seconded. One more chance for questions or discussion. Hearing none, Corey, would you please voice vote?
Yes. All those in favor of authorizing the issuance of home ownership opportunity bonds in the amount of $500 million, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. With six affirmative votes, the motion is approved.
Carol, James, Corey, I think you're at conclusion. Anything before we do conclude?
No.
All right. Being that there is no further business, I would request a motion to adjourn. Second, please.
Mm-hmm. All those in favor of adjourning this meeting, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay.